Living the Word today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
It would not surprise you to say that Jesus loves you, that He loves us. The Bible is full of statements in Scripture, and we know from our personal experience of how He treats us, He saved us, that He loves us. But today I want to look at the fact that that love goes to the furthest extent of love. And Jesus talks about that as He comes into this, what we call the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. And it's out of that from which our celebration of communion comes. And I want to take you to John chapter 13, verse 1. And in this chapter, John fills in some details. You know, the Last Supper scene is stated in Mark 14, Matthew 26, and Luke 22. And they detail Him taking the bread and the cup and all of that. But John tells the story, kind of filling in the gaps the other three gospel writers leave out. And you put it all together, it's a beautiful picture of what went on in that upper room scene. But in this, we find out that Jesus, when He loves us, He loved us to the limit. You, in fact, are looking at and going to see love to the limit today. That's the message that we're going to look at today. So if you have a Bible available, I'd encourage you to follow along. We're looking at John 13, verse 1. John writes, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." A powerful statement. Now, as you read those words, you understand that John kind of breaks into the narrative, the ongoing depiction of what's happening, and he talks about what was going on behind the scenes. He gives his commentary, his divinely inspired commentary. So we have some of the backstory here, what we would have otherwise have missed. And in this presentation, here's what he says about the Lord. Just look at it again. He says, Jesus knew that His hour had come. So there's something about Jesus' awareness. And then it says, had come into the world that He should depart from this world to the Father. He knew where He was going. So it's something about completion, something about anticipation. And then it says, having loved His own. And then having loved His own, He loved them to the end. I want to just share with you the fact that this takes love to the limit. Well, first of all, the only way to illustrate love is through humble service. And that's what this first couple of phrases could be. Now, it says the Feast of the Passover, so the bread and the cup that we think about at communion time was available to Him, so the elements were there. Luke tells us this is what we looked at sometime back. Luke said that Jesus desired with great fervent desire to be with His disciples. He wanted to have this meal with these people. But here He says at this Feast of the Passover, it says this, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, and this was, it says, this hour had come, He should depart from this world to the Father. So it's anticipation of His death and His departure from this world back to the Father. In essence, He had completed the mission. You see, this love in display in service that He's illustrating and will illustrate in this passage is seen in this reality that He has served. It's seen in this service and His sacrifice. It says, His hour had come. That hour was anticipating what would happen, but it was preceded by all that He had done before. All of His teaching, all of His example, all of His patience, all of His actions, all of the healings, all of the miracles, all of the sermons, all of the questions and answers that the disciples had experienced was all an act of love. He didn't have to do any of those things, but why did He do it? He did it because, for God so loved the world that He gave. And we understand He gave His only begotten Son. That Son came in person to express all the love of God to us. But it says, then the time had come for Him to depart from this life. And that's where you see sacrifice. You see sacrifice in that He knew what this would mean. The departure from the world entailed the cross. It wasn't just going to be a gentle thing. But instead, Jesus was going to go through the horrors of the cross, the humiliation of it. And not that he couldn't have prevented it. All he had to do was think the thought, and God the Father would send 12 legions of angels to come and rescue him. But instead, he chose to go through all that he went through to pay sin's price so that you and I could have a Savior, that through belief in him, we could have everlasting life. What a great gift that is. It's a gift that's born of love, and it comes through service and sacrifice, that he would depart from this world and go to his Father. He knew that this was all in the future. So he illustrates this love in his service. Now, it's not my purpose, nor do we have time to look at the rest of the story. This text goes all the way through verse 20, but it's one that you probably are familiar with. He rises from the supper, and he talks about Judas's interacting. And, of course, you know Judas's story. He betrays Jesus. He comes in the Garden of Gethsemane and gives him a kiss to show his enemies, to identify him. He later commits suicide in remorse and the guilt and the shame over what he had participated in and what he had really been playing the key role in Jesus' arrest and subsequent trial, condemnation, and ultimate death. But these are gathered, and Jesus rises from the meal, takes off his outer garment, and takes on the clothing and has a towel, the position of the lowest of servants, and washes the disciples' feet. He washes the feet. If you go down to verse 15, I just want to read this. It says this. This is now 13:15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You see, this love to the limit is seen in his service and sacrifice. Secondly, it should be reflected in our service and sacrifice for others. He says, here's your example. I don't know that requires us literally to wash feet. But he says, this is an example that we need to humbly serve. The washing of feet was reserved for the lowest of the servants. Whoever was lowest on the pecking order was the one who had to wash the feet. It was expected in their culture for someone to do it. They all viewed themselves as peers. So obviously, I'm not going to wash his feet because I'm on the same level as him, and Jesus is above us all. So the highest one humbles himself. It just says to us, the love to the limit that we've received has come through a Savior who was willing to humble himself and serve. This is our example. If you want to reflect the character and the quality of the love that we have received from our God in the person of Jesus Christ, we need to humble ourselves and serve others. Sometimes that means when that phone call comes at an inconvenient time that we reserve time for that friend who needs to talk. Sometimes that means we need to reach into our wallets and take from our resources and give to somebody that is in need. That we share God's love, that we share some positive outlook in the midst of a maybe gloomy world that we live in, to just show our love and our faith and our confidence in God. Maybe it's to share the gospel with that person that's never heard that Jesus saves, or if they've heard it, they've never committed to him in faith. May we just commit ourselves, and may we dedicate ourselves to following this example of serving. But then he makes this statement. This is really the standout part of this passage. Go back to 13:1 for just a moment. Having loved his own, the only way to explain the cross is love. There's nothing else that compelled Jesus to do what he did, or God to launch this rescue mission, or the Spirit to empower the Son as he carried out this rescue mission. It all comes down, the only reason is God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave. And just look at this. He says, having loved his own, that's important. He loved his own. This was those who had a connection with him, those that were part of his family. At the beginning of his ministry, it says that he appointed 12 that they would be with him. He didn't teach them in a classroom. He didn't give them a textbook. He didn't give them a final exam. They were just with him, and they absorbed, they learned, they saw his example, they connected to his heart, and he loved his own. Are you one of his own? He loves you, and he loves everyone, obviously, but there's this special connection, and John calls it out in this commentary on what Jesus is about to do in this setup of this Last Supper, seen in the washing of the feet, and then the other gospel writers fill in the details of the bread and the cup. So, he loves his own in a special way. He was with them. He was patient with them. He put up with them, and even Judas. He loved Judas as well, even though he knew what the other disciples didn't was that Judas would be the betrayer. He loves you, but he loves his own. There's a special relationship there. He loves his own sheep. We're told in John 10, where he gives this great discourse on him being the good shepherd. Chapter 10, verse 11, John, he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He laid down his life. He was willing to put his life on the line, and he certainly did that for us. Friends, you are loved if you're one of his own. You're in the special care and concern. Just as much as we love our own children, if you're a parent, you understand this very clearly. You love your children. There's nothing that child could do that would ever break that bond of love with you. They may do something you disapprove of. There might be a disconnect in relationship, but in your heart, you love them, and nothing's going to change that. God loves his children even more. God loves you as one of his children even more. There's a connection there. There's a bindingness there. And God says, I love you. Now, let me just take a moment and say, maybe you're not one of his children. He loves you. He sent his son to be the savior of the world. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. But then there's a condition. Let me finish quoting from John 3:16 that I've referenced, I think, three times already today. But he says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So he says to you, and I say to you, have you believed in him? Have you come to the point where you are willing and eager to admit that you're a sinner, that I deserve the punishment of being separated from God in hell forever? And we recognize that we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. It's not of works. It's not anything that we could boast about, but it's through what he has done that we just receive and accept through faith. That being the case, all you have to do is believe. Would you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? You can just bow your head and just express your belief to him in prayer. Tell him you know you're a sinner. Tell him that you understand that Jesus is that Savior as a gift of love. And just tell him that right now you're receiving his free gift of salvation on the basis of your belief in what he did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in him today. We'd love to have a conversation with you. You can contact us. We'd love to have a conversation in whatever form is comfortable to you. If you have questions, we could help you with this most important decision. But coming back to the extent of love, he makes one more statement here, and this is now the end of verse 1. He says, let me read the whole verse again just so we get it. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own, that's what we just looked at, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved to the limit. Now, this is not just in time. You know, you might look at it this way. He loved them then. To the end of his life, he never stopped loving. And that's true. He wasn't going to quit. He was going to finish what he started. He was not going to back out of even going to the cross. He's not going to pray for those angels to come in this divine rescue mission. And God would have unleashed this rescue party that would have brought judgment on the world and rescue for his son. He finished it. He went to the end. But not just to the end of life. This means to the completion. The word translated end there is an interesting one. It's the Greek word telos, which means the end or the completion, full, final. When the last thing that needed to be done is done, it will be done. He says, the one thing that began before he left the glories of heaven, he went through the experience of being in Mary and coming into this world, being virgin born, growing up as a young man, going to the temple at age 12, announcing his public ministry through the baptism of John the Baptist when he was a young man, to preach and to heal and to teach and all the things that he did in his interaction, to stand up against a corrupt political system and religious system all combined into one. That he shared the truth and revealed the Father. All that was done out of love. He completed it. He finished it. And everything that was required of him would be complete. And all of that was enmeshed in love. All of that was immersed in love. All of that just exuded love. It was absolutely soaked in love. What a loving Savior. He loved to the end, the furthest extent of love. It's to the boundaries of love that he pushed out. And not only did he love to the limit, but let's just add one more thought here. He loved to the extreme limit of the cross. I suppose there's not a more horrible, horrifying way to die than the cross. He was humiliated. All of his friends fled. He didn't even speak up to defend himself. He died, and he willed to be there to pay sin's price. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and through his death, those price was paid. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He loved even to the cross. He didn't get, partway up Calvary and say, I think this has gone far enough. No, I'm gonna have a double check. We're going to go a different way. If he would have, you know, checked out of that, every one of us, all of us, lost for eternity. He loved all the way to the cross. He loves you that much. So what do we do with that? We talked earlier about this illustration of humble service. We need to humbly serve. And just be on the lookout this week. Here's your assignment. Be on the lookout this week for someone you could serve. Go out and do it. Maybe just go down to your contact list in your phone and say, you know, I haven't talked to that person. Well, I'm going to call them and just express my love and concern. Maybe it's I'm going to have an appointment to meet with somebody if that works in your life. But just be there to serve someone humbly. And then lastly, it's what we do at communion time. We are going to remember and we're going to show forth the Lord's death. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that he says we are to do these things, partake of the cup, which is the picture of Jesus' blood, the symbol of that, and some bread, which is the symbol of his body, which was broken, and to consume them. And in so doing, we're going to remember. May God help us to remember this gift of love, that we have been loved to the limit. And then as we partake, we illustrate, we show his death till he comes. We look at a picture to remind us of him. We show everyone around as we're participating together that we are his children and he is our Savior. And you know this, friends, someday we will no longer need the picture. We'll have the person in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's make sure we remember and let's make sure that we show his death as a means of expressing worship for the limitless love of God.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.